Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 12th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is CA Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a Man Down Mashup Wednesday. And of course, if you're having a Man Down Mashup Wednesday, that means Erin Greeners for me, right? She could be definitely the co-host. And if it is Wednesday, we finally have Ian Munnings back, right? And that means that we're going to have an interesting show. Today, we actually have Senator Randy Rowell, who's a consultant in the office of the Deputy Prime Minister. Erin, I didn't even know we had an office of the Deputy Prime Minister.
Listen, protocol being established, I have to step down from my prime ministerial position right now.
You're the prime minister now.
I was.
Are you the Prime Minister of Abaco?
No, I was the Prime Minister of the studio for 25 minutes.
Yes.
But now we have a senator in the building.
So we yield to the senator.
Protocol having been established properly, yes.
Yeah, but I also want to take note that the senator has some summer students with him, right, who are doing some extraordinary work at the Ministry of Tourism. So I want to introduce them properly until I start challenging and questioning the good senator about his new role, that big things are happening on Bay Street, and the senator is in charge of making things happen and cleaning up and coordinating the efforts of the downtown project. So, but I wanted to introduce your summer students, if I may, Mr. Senator. Good. So I'll start with a lady straight ahead of me. Just say your name, what do you do, and for this summer, how was your experience working at the Ministry of Tourism?
Hi, my name is Rika Seymour. I just recently graduated from St. John's College, and working at the Ministry of Tourism is fun, and you learn new things every day.
Okay, like what new things have you learned every day?
Oh, I learned like how, like the process of, you know, rebuilding downtown and what really goes into it.
Yeah, but we definitely need downtown to be rebuilt. So congratulations and thanks for assisting the senator, the good senator, on this project and giving new, young perspective, you know?
Yes.
Good. And the next summer student is, talk directly in the mic there.
Hi, my name is Shailene Bain. I am a newly graduated student of Pace Christian Academy. It's a small school behind Frank Hanel.
Mm-hmm. No, I know what Pace is.
Okay.
Good.
Because a lot of people confuse it with the other
Pace.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Good, good. And what you have been doing at the Ministry of Tourism for the summer?
I've been doing the same as Rika. We've been walking around helping with the renovations on Bay Street.
And I can challenge you there. What you mean helping? Because I know what Mr. Rule does.
You know how to, and you now know how to swing hammer?
Yeah, guy. Do you do construction? But what do you help? What do you help with?
I'm not very good with construction, but if you want, I can help tear down stuff.
You get past a hammer.
You know, she made you tear down the system.
I used a jackhammer in the back of my schoolyard to help them build this whole flower garden.
All right.
But we take pictures of stuff that need to be fixed and things like that.
That's nice.
Okay.
There's a lot of things downtown
like
need to be fixed.
Reconnaissance, you're collecting data, you're identifying problematic spots and things that need to be addressed.
Yes,
I talk about that every day. That's a very important part of the process.
And I appreciate you for your summer efforts, right? But let's go to the senator. Mr. Rowe, thank you very much for coming back on the show. Recently, mm-hmm. The Minister of Tourism has announced that you will be taking charge of a particular effort to improving downtown, right? Recently, you gave a speech in the Senate House, detailed speech. I mean, you were in the news for a good 3, 4, 5 days, people lauding you of your efforts on what you plan to do. The Bahamian people are encouraged that downtown, Bay Street, the surrounding areas may have a dramatic change in the near future, immediate future, right? We see the big port. The port is beautiful. It has added to what it is we say we deliver in the Bahamas. Now, all heads, all hands, all efforts, all watching, all eyes, that's what I'm getting, trying to get at, mm-hmm. is on you, because they said you now are in charge of making Bay Street look like the Bay Street we behemoths claim it should be. I want to you to give your preamble on what is it that you are charge of.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Bahamas. Good morning to your fellow co-hosts, and of course to my summer students who are here with me today. And I wanted to bring them along for the experience. They actually had no idea where they were coming, but I think it's good that they get that exposure, the experience. These are the individuals in the hands that we leave our country to. And so to get them in on ground zero, I think speaks well to what happens in the near future. Yes, I have been given the major task and responsibility by our Deputy Prime Minister, whose pleasure I serve at in the Ministry of Tourism. Certainly by extension, I serve at the pleasure of the Prime Minister in the Senate. And so I'm, first of all, grateful to both gentlemen for having the confidence in me to get the job done. And so this is something that has not just started yesterday, but what I wanted to do was, first of all, get a proper assessment. You know, that's something that's been in the news for a very long time. People have been talking about it, downtown, especially with the cruise port opening. And so what we now wanted to do is hit the ground running, assess what needed to happen, and again, get a lot of quick wins. There are a lot of things that one may, I mean, could very well take a day or two, which we've done so far, but also we wanted to build on a plan. And so we're not just going to talk about it. We have an action plan as it relates to Bay Street, which we're going to take it in stages. We have divided our downtown into four zones, and I'll talk about that later as well. And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the zones. We're going to look at the things that need to be done. We're going to talk to the stakeholders. As a matter of fact, today at 3:30, I have my first stakeholder meeting with Zone 2 of downtown. And so it's all of the managers and business owners in that Zone 2. And we're going to, again, break down what it is that we're doing, what it is that we feel that they can do to help. And we're going to collaborate to dissect it so that we make sure that we get a lot of quick wins and we get progress. So it's about measurable progress. And I'll let you talk right now, Aaron. I happen to work, like I said, with a gentleman, Deputy Prime Minister, who is a businessman in politics. And so from he got in the role, his thing is, listen, man, I don't want to just talk about it. I want action. I want things to happen. And so you're going to be accountable. You're going to get it done. We're going to go after the quick wins. We're going to make sure that at the end of the day, we see a difference. And that's basically what we're going to try to do. And we can't do it alone. And so tourism is everybody's business. And so we're going to engage as many of the stakeholders as possible. We're going to come on shows such as this. We're going to listen to what the public has to say. And then we're going to pivot and try to improve on what we're doing. So it's something that's going to take everybody.
Right. And thank you for the inclusiveness in terms of talking about stakeholders, right? Mm-hmm. How do I empower myself to be an informed stakeholder? Where can I access the information? So like when you said zone two, right? Where do I find that map that tells me where the zones are? So when you're talking, I can follow this conversation and put down my notes and ideas and then resubmit them to you.
Okay, now we recently hired a young lady, Miss Brown. She is my project manager for downtown. She was supposed to come to the show, but you know she is setting stuff up for our meeting this evening. But we're going to map it out. Like I said, we're hitting this with a project management approach. Yeah. Not just going to talk about it. So it's the action plan, and on the action plan, we have dates of where we want to see things happen and when we want to see things happen. This is good to talk.
I think one of the biggest issues is that you don't get buy-in, not because people aren't interested, but because people can't be informed participants. mm-hmm. in the process. And so providing access to this data, right? I can snapshot, I can just go to a website, take a look, the new revisions, any updates or amendments, new information is added, and I can continuously follow the process without having to come see the senator and ask him questions personally, without having to get a courtesy call with the minister. It right. really builds stakeholder engagement.
Yes, and we have an email that you can reach us. My summer students here, they've, again, developed a Facebook page. They've developed an Instagram page.
Give us and Twitter. Right now.
Go ahead, Rika.
All right.
Downtown Bahamas Official okay. on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Downtown Bahamas Official.
And what is the objective for the TikTok, the social media presence?
Well, again, tourism is everybody's business, CA. We want to be able to reach as many stakeholders and persons who have a buy-in as possible. And of course, to keep the public informed as to what's going on and our progress.
Mr. Honorable Senator, let me give Mr. Nuri. It's called the Elkin 360 model.
Yeah.
Right? What you do is you create a listening ear. Mm-hmm. As many opportunities for people to engage as possible. And in that space, the magic happens. Elkin had some lyrics, and he had some passion and resilience. And then because he was brought to the public, other people were able to connect their ideas to his idea, and the idea bloomed. And so people sitting there may think, well, why would they be on TikTok of all places? But it's to create a listening ear, to capture the attention of as many Bahamians as possible, and provide a space for them to be able to contribute, to catch the energy, feel the vibe, connect, and share.
Yes. But whilst we have the Senator here, let's ask him some tough questions, right? Let me tell you, I have two tough questions. Okay. One, I can let, because the moment I say this second question, this is the second question, not the first question, right? Mm-hmm. I know that Ayers is going to prick up, and I know that Ian Ayers is going to prick up, right? Because I want to know what's happening with Junkanoo Beach and all those helter-skelter up there. And see, people are already excited about it. But this is my first question I want you to address. The Junkanoo Beach, Aaron and Ian, I'm sure can pitch up and give you a tougher question with that. I know that there's such a thing as a downtown initiative. I'm not sure where that downtown initiative is. Because I remember once upon a time someone promised me a boardwalk, right? And then everything was going to respond. And I was told by a number of stakeholders who are delinquent or tarry in their development, that they are waiting on the government to fulfill their promise of creating a boardwalk so they can develop whatever product they plan to develop. So at this present time, they sit and do nothing. So I hear you with your initiative saying, well, we plan to do this, and we are speaking with stakeholders. We are taking stock of what needs to be done. But surely, if y'all are not the government, when I say government, if y'all are not doing what y'all promised the stakeholders, surely they ain't gonna do nothing.
Okay, excellent. Good questions, CA. First of all, let me address the Junkanoo Beach. And this is something that, again, many even...
Junkanoo Beach fall within the parameters of Nassau City?
It kind of does, but it also falls under the previews of what I have responsibility for. Okay. So it's an initiative that I have been personally tasked with by the Deputy Prime Minister. And I spoke a bit to it in my contribution in the Senate on the debate. And one of the things is, you know, in driving down West Bay Street, even this morning, there's a big dumpster that you see right before you get to actual Junkanoo Beach. And this is something that some of the stakeholders would have placed there a couple of years ago because for easy access and everything and because of the traffic.
Because there's not adequate trash removal and storage systems on Arawaki.
Yes, correct. But what it also does, because it's so open, you see that a number of other individuals, you know, and I've seen cars past there, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening, they say, hey, it's a big dumpster, let me stop, let me fill it up.
Yeah, businesses doing the same
thing. The same thing, exactly. But it's a monthly expense to the Ministry of Tourism because we have to get someone to empty that dumpster. Mm-hmm. And certainly, so what I wanted to do is look at, even though we know it's needed, I think the placement of it, it's an eyesore.
Let's talk about it very quickly, right?
Yeah, sure.
We absolutely need it. Mm-hmm. The trash, the waste facilities in these tourist areas are not sufficient. A part of it is because people are concerned by how it could look.
Right.
First of all, you're in an art district,
mm-hmm.
right? If we remember that Nassau City is also an art district, then we beautify them, right? Nobody needs to know that it's a garbage bin except those who are putting garbage in it. That's important.
Correct.
There should be bins that have lids and locks. If you are an authorized vendor, you have the code for the keypad to open the bin. If you're not an authorized vendor, there's no way that you could get in it. Mm-hmm. Then we couple that with cameras for those people who can leave the garbage on the side of the bin because the garbage men come in anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we use CCTV camera to capture the entry points for cars, the entry points for pedestrians, and we identify people. And then if we realize it's a persistent problem, then we post officers from the Junkanoo Beach Police Station right across the road. We post an officer there to initially deter people from coming, because if they see the police, they ain't gonna come, and to catch whoever can be bold enough to try a thing.
Agreed. And so, yes, and so one of the things we know, again, through our stakeholders is that, listen, this is the issue we have.
Yeah.
I went there, we walked to Junkanoo Beach, had several meetings. Listen, we are going to find a way to, again, improve and clean up this environment. And so we have, like I said in my contribution, that bin, I've already signed some documents to have it removed. It's in transition now, but before the end of August. And I don't want to put dates, but again, that's one of the things in my action plan. Mm-hmm. Before the end of August, that will be removed. We will be relocated, and we are creating another avenue where we will have a more management system as it relates to dumping for the vendors on Junkanoo Beach.
If I could just quickly, and let us build a model for other beaches, because it's obvious that we haven't figured out the proper strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to saying that Bahamians are nasty,
mm-hmm.
Bahamians like to litter, let's acknowledge that there are not sufficient bins or trash disposal options available. Plus, it doesn't matter how many bins you put out there. If you're on the beach, there's going to be wind. So you need attendants who are posted there like a 9-to-5 job. And all they do is walk up and down the beach and the park and ensure that they capture all of the trash and they make the call when the bins need to be empty.
Senator, we have two callers here, so I'm going to patch the caller through. And I see you're talking trash. And mind you, I didn't see the trash. I thought it just happens through business.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is about the entities there. Is this a permanent thing that these businesses are going to be there? Or does your plan, your action plan, has a plan about creating an environment that is similar to the fish fry, which is similar, organized, and structured out? Or will it be one shack here, one business here? I'm not even sure who's responsible for maintaining the bathroom. Is that Ministry of Tourism? I'm not sure who's responsible for inspecting these businesses. Do they have business license? Where do they get their permits from? That's my question. The garbage part I was cool with. But let me get these.
Let me just answer quickly.
Okay, let the good senator answer the question. Callers, we're going to patch you through right now, so get ready.
Yeah. Now, again, it was an issue I had when I took over as well, too. Certainly, you said, like a fish fry. My thing is, I want to be better than a fish fry. Mm-hmm. And so I want an environment where, and others want an environment that can be family-friendly, that one can go and feel safe. So we want that look. And so there have been many persons who have been calling my boss and others to say, listen, we want to stall at Fish. We want to stall at Junkanoo Beach. We want to do this. We want to do that. And I've taken a hard stance to listen. We aren't going to do it until we have a proper structure and plan. And now we do, but again...
I know we get callers, but yeah. I remember when you weren't allowed to have a permanent structure on that beach or on any beach, when you were supposed to be able to move yourself entirely from that location at the end of day.
Things changing. But let's go to the caller right there. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning again, everybody. I assume that's Mr. Randy Roll in there?
Yes, yes, it is.
Hey, Sparky, Uncle Vince.
Hey, Sparky.
Yeah, I'll convince you. You know better.
Yeah.
But anyway, I first of all, I want to ask this question now. When did they go to the House of Assembly and change the name from Long Wharf to Junkanoo Beach? And when did they change the Western Esplanade to Arawa Key? Because I know Arawa Key is crossed there where the ships come in with the port. But everybody said they're going to have a fair on Junkanoo down in Arawa Key. I know they call it Fish Rise, a nickname, but that's the Western Esplanade. And then cross from the Mayfair Hotel was Long Wharf. Somehow they call it Junkanoo Beach. I don't know, because Tiki Bikini going there. Other than that, the second question I want to say is, not question, I want to make a statement to Randy. Randy, that flooding of the road of east of Bay Street, east of Elizabeth Avenue, where that water comes up and goes into stores, and it's a problem, been there a long time. I think it's because proper drainage back into the sea. And you know, if your Uncle Kip and Terry was here now, two civil engineers, that would have been a long, long time. I don't understand. We got these civil engineers come back from Harvard University and all over the place, and they can't fix the flooding problem for the water to drain back into the sea. And water, when it rains a little heavy for 2 hours or something like that, the water is inside the old Stop and Shop and every shop east of Elizabeth Avenue, all the way nearly up to SO gas station up by Dowswell Street. And why that cannot be fixed with all these engineers what we got in this country.
Okay, Sparky, let me allow the senator to respond to that. It is a vexing problem. I'm sure it's part of your plan. What kind of plan do you have to address this flooding on B?
Well, certainly, again, that's it's in one of the zones. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about, again, deals with our communication with our partners and getting an idea from, okay, we're going to do an action list. In this action list, we're going to identify the various ministries and partners who have oversight of these areas. And based on that, then we are going to write our correspondence, we're going to do our follow-ups, and then we are going to also give feedback. And so, like, one of the programs that's a part of our action plan is drainage cleaning. Now, again, I'm sure that has more to do with maybe some king tides or something deeper, but they will rest assured that my team will identify what we can, make certain reports, and then try to follow up with the other ministries to see, hey, how can we get some
assistance? This sounds long-term. This doesn't sound immediate. This doesn't sound like 6 months worth of work.
The flooding, I guess it has to be long-term. I'm not certain, but I've known it to be that way for a little while. And so I feel that if it was short-term, then someone, some administration, should have already brought some relief to it. So I'm not going to sit here and promise that I'm going to do it or we're going to get it done. We're going to identify as we have been, and certainly we are going to make our communication to follow it up to get some resolutions.
We have another caller here, Senator Rowe. Allow producer Patrick caller through to address the senator. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call again once. Call again twice. Nothing. Can you hear me, caller? Okay, I'm sorry about that. But go ahead.
Okay,
I want you to still point out about the action plan, not action plan. Okay. What the plan for Bay Street?
But I'd like to ask the senator in regards to Junkanoo Beach. We're talking about the morning.
Yeah, and I want to go back to Junkanoo Beach as well. So go ahead. Yeah.
I want to know if tourism is going to go into a PPP. With Junkanoo Beach model, because like you said, you want it to become better than Fish Fry.
Correct.
And then the question is, with that model, is that going to be geared for Bahamians to be patronizing that particular space? Because we have known, we've seen a lot of the traffic from the cruise ships and the stayover visitors. They're now frequenting the Junkanoo Beach now. So they're no longer they're going over to Cabbage Beach as that amount of persons like they normally would have. I've seen this now walking on Bay Street and just seeing the thousands or hundreds of tourists that's going to that particular space. So what is it futuristic, or are you guys in conversation with somebody, with a PPP, in regards to creating this model that you're speaking about?
Well, certainly a decision on a PPP or whatever in that direction would come from the minister and certainly at his level. What I can tell you that there have been some persons who have asked for an audience with our office in regards to some plans that they may have had before and their solution to it. My thing is, stakeholders for me are tourists as well as Bahamian locals. You know, locals have been around for a very long time. And so when we work at improvement, yes, we do it for our benefit. But, you know, we also have, from the cruise ship standpoint, an average of about 8,000 to 10,000 who could pretty much frequent that beach on a given week. And so it has to be one that can accommodate all who are interested. And so going back to it, again, we wanted to make sure that, again, I've been in communication with Water and Sewage. We've done a walkabout. They've identified how it would look and how it works. We've been in contact with BPL, okay? Because right now, people tie into one or two systems when it should be more regulated. And so our plan is to make sure that we regulate or we cause it to happen on Junkanoo Beach so that there's a proper system and a proper process.
I want you to give us some commentary on the Downtown Partner Initiative. Where is that standing? Because I remember it's already promised, so I know it exists, mm-hmm. All right, the partnership and that how downtown is supposed to work and act and look. Right, feel. Mm-hmm. And it has been a delay. Being a delay, 20, 30 odd years, that long? Or at least 25 years worth of delay in terms of initiating something, mm-hmm. right? Where is that standing?
Well, you know, there is a downtown partnership. I think that's with Nassau Partnership, with Javon Moss, who is the chairman of it. And he will, along with his team, will be a part of our stakeholders meeting today, meeting with some of the vendors. And so, that is something I think that's ongoing. Certainly, we also, the Attorney General's office, as we speak, have been working on a draft for a downtown city management bill. And the AG, he's very passionate about it as well. And he promised that he will have that to us in short order. And so I think it's going to be a very good bill once it's completed. And again, may address a lot of the things that people are concerned about as relates to
and
downtown.
I see we have a caller here, and I hope the producer passes that caller through. But before I do that, what do you mean by a city management bill? Just general. I don't know if you want to preempt, but I just want to understand that.
Because I guess overall, because it's so much going on in the city, there has to be a team who has full responsibility for it. To make sure that certain things happen to, as it relates to garbage collection, as it relates to parking, as it relates to beautification, as it relates to cleaning, you know, it should fall under one umbrella where there's proper protocols to make sure that it happens. Go ahead.
I have a caller here. I know the caller been calling for a while. Let me pass the caller through. And I was going to bait you and say, isn't that local government? But let me just leave that alone. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
We do it in the class session. I'm a very
caller, can you hear me? I see the caller isn't getting through. Producer is not coming through the caller. Or can you communicate with them to have them call back? Okay. So continuing that, it didn't get come through. Caller, I could hear you in the background, but I couldn't hear you inside the studio. So if you can call back and we can speak to the... also, Senator, I see Aaron, I see you. The government, your office, has identified one or two buildings that need to come down. Mm-hmm. You've also given notice to stakeholders, say, hey, if we identify your building and if you don't come and do what you got to do, we can do it for you and we charge you, right? And that announcement has been like several weeks. I want to know where that stand. And did the stakeholders come in and speak to you and that ongoing, what's happening with that?
In my presentation to the Senate also, I spoke about that CA. I have the opportunity to also be overseeing a task force, a demolition task force. Again, one of the initiatives by our Deputy Prime Minister that he wanted to see done. I can tell you that notices have gone out to several buildings there because, you know, many people see, especially east of East Street, some derelict buildings, certainly some that are very unsafe, and I saw. And so that is a major initiative by this administration as well. That listen, how do we clean it up? But there also has to be a plan once you tear down these buildings. Yes, they will create some more green spaces. A part of that committee has also been the AMMC. Antiquities, because they identify some of these buildings and they say, hey, listen, it's historical. You can't tear it down. It keeps the way Bay Street looks. Okay, fine. But then you go to these owners and they're like, we're not going to put any money into it. We're not going to do anything to it. And so what happens now? Does it cause us to be behind when the world is moving? We have to have some solution.
But the solution, Senator, I believe, is that it is what's the best interest of the country and its people.
Correct.
And another thing I was thinking about is Bay Street zoned for this new idea of condominiums, lifestyle, and restaurants sitting down without traffic?
I guess that's a ministerial level. This is a senator in charge.
I'm glad that you said that, you know,
trying to have him misspeak.
Please prevent me from asking him the question about that, right? Like, is there a space in which we are talking about the impact of the redevelopment of New Providence, of Nassau City, what the scope of it is, the steps that we're going to take to mitigate gentrification,
right,
and the displacement of people who have historically been there, who may have been driven out of that area for particular reasons, but have a right in some sense to be there. And how does the government intend to engage the public with this idea of creating living spaces in a new downtown, mm-hmm, in the midst of a housing crisis that stretches across the archipelago? But I appreciate what Mr. Newry said. That's maybe I shouldn't ask that. And maybe I should ask you.
Give me a hookup so I can get the minister to come in.
So yes,
I can hook me up with the minister. They can come in and talk about it.
Well, certainly he's always available to meet and chat.
Say, man, and my friend.
And so I'm sure, you know, at his level, like you said, you know, he has a vision of what he thinks downtown should be, and his colleagues. But it's again a collective thing that, you know, the government will have a position on.
Recently,
that they can then engage the Bahamian public with their position, mm-hmm, so that we could come to a decision.
Yeah, and remember now, we're doing it in stages, yes. But again, a part of that and understanding what's out there is to come to the people and to communicate. Uh-huh. And so that's why it's so important to engage the stakeholders. Like I said, keep saying, tourism is everybody's business. Mm-hmm. This cannot be done in silos. It has to be collective, and that's what we're planning to do.
There's a historic and cultural preservation element. There's a tourist, mm-hmm, element, right? Mm-hmm. There's the present, that element, the people who are there or were there and are slightly displaced, and then there's the element of the future, right? And all of those things have to be considered in tandem.
Safety also.
Right, and then, right, in terms of the hurricane zone. And then,
then at some point, I do want to talk about the police presence, why you said.
And
downtown and other areas.
Forgive me for this. And I know Aaron got to read some text for me. the minister made an announcement that certain miscreants, what do you, how do you pronounce the word?
We call them hagglers and
you list the whole name? But no, what do you call that whole list of bad people?
Solicitors.
Miscreants?
He talked about the increased presence. Them.
Oh, sorry.
Alfred Grace everywhere has them.
No, then let the senator continue talking. I may say the word vomit.
My question to you, and I see the caller calling again. Mm-hmm. Does your committee plan to police that? He listed a number of people who are problematic
again,
on the street.
Again, see, and that's why it's so important to engage your stakeholders. And I'll keep going back to that. Because what we do is, you know, there's a partnership with also the commissioner of police. And when we started this drive, there were, you know, I remember 3 or 4 police officers downtown on any given day. As recruits come in and out, sometimes the number fluctuates. I can tell you that we've had the full support of the Commissioner of Police and his team in the last couple of weeks. The presence of the police force has increased threefold downtown. They're everywhere. You know, they have the chief superintendent.
Can I ask you a question? What have they actually been posted there to do, right? I didn't like the way that Mr. Newry used the word policing there, but I appreciated the partnership is with the police,
right,
and the Ministry of Tourism, right, mm-hmm, and then with the agencies that I'm going to be set up to manage downtown, which don't necessarily come from the Ministry of Tourism, because we all know that the Ministry of Tourism doesn't own downtown.
Right.
Even if they are contributing the lion's share of the funds for the redevelopment of downtown, that does not mean that they own downtown.
Correct.
Right? So, but what are the police doing there? Because there's nothing more frustrating, mm-hmm, than seeing copious amounts of police not watching the road while the road is filled with traffic and traffic infractions.
And here is interesting that you would say that, because there's also the partnership with road traffic. And so I just had the discussion the other day, for example, in the back part of the wharf where there is the cruise ships, people are keep coming through us. If we have the police officers that are so busy engaging in the traffic management, then what happens when there are other persons around who are getting away with little things, but because I'm a police officer and I'm so focused on this traffic that I miss something else?
I appreciate what you're saying, Senator, but it don't work like that. You have 4 officers on a corner. And none of them looking at the road. None of them looking down the side corners. They're looking at each other. They're looking at their phones. What I'm saying is, I appreciate where you were heading, but come on. There are enough officers available with the proper protocols, management, training, and policing. They could do all of that one time.
And I think they're getting there. But, there are some very good officers.
All of the officers are good officers that are being poorly managed. It's like you telling me, but how can they drive the car with the AC if the windows are down?
I have a question.
I have a question
for Senator. Senator, what about tourism orchestrating something in regards to once cruise ships are in that particular wharf part where we know can be congested with a lot of people coming in, that there will be a no-car zone within a particular hour?
Shirley Street book up?
We are in communication with road traffic. Again, that's why it means we all must do this together. And so a concerted effort with all stakeholders, that is something that we can make better. I am saying we can fix completely, but it can be better and it can flow easier. But the police presence has been very better. We're working through it, but, you know, Superintendent Delaville, Superintendent Neely, they are excellent officers who have given us some manpower through the Commissioner of Police, and they're helping us to...
Yeah, nobody's doubting the integrity or the quality of the officers. The question is, who are they policing and what are they policing? Obviously, we got to call on the line.
Let's go to call on the line. And then I want to also talk about your successes so far. What all have you accomplished since being... But we've got that's a commercial break before that. But let's go to this caller, then we go to commercial break, and then you come back with your successes so far. Go ahead, caller.
screen. Excellent point. I agree. They need to take these police off Bay Street and up in the city where they actually need it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Absolutely. Thank you, caller. So the caller was saying, they said that they agreed with me. My point is slightly more nuanced. You're making a very good point, though, right? It is about not whether the police officers are good officers or not, but whether we are deploying our resources in the most efficient and effective manners. And I think that's really...
Aaron, I think that the presence of the officers down Bay Street is a good presence, because you're dealing with... tourists, and we're looking at the safety of everybody and stakeholders at stake and everything else. So I believe that the presence of those officers being down there is a particular good one. But like you're saying, you think that they shouldn't be grouped up and they should specifically be...
Are we deploying them in the most effective manner? Are we getting the benefit, the maximum, right? Are we getting the maximum benefit from their presence? I've got another text for you, sir, before we go to...
Oh, okay. And right before that, I just want to address something that we spoke with earlier. And you know, I'm advised that, you know, Minister Sayers revealed plans for the new drainage infrastructure on Bay Street, you know, just recently at a cost of $1.5 million.
Well, I hope you go over the hill also with that, because people are waiting for drainage to get clean over the hill.
I appreciate that. And that's a part of the sentiment of the last caller was, you know, that some of us feel that the resources that are being spent to develop the city, the small part of the city, right, are exorbitant considering the needs in other areas. But
it's based on one's constituency. As CA, you know, I don't have a constituency, so my constituency is downtown. And so I'm going to fight for my constituency.
See, the next thing you can tell me is that you're going to the Deputy Prime Minister's office, and I know two of those things don't exist, sir. No mind, you're doing a good job.
We added it a break.
No mind, you're doing a good job. They don't exist. But let me read this text very quickly, Mr. Newry. To remind you and the listeners, Mr. Roll was saying that the Minister of Works has actually announced recently, and I'm going to do some research and find that article, that they have begun the process, a plan to the tune of about $1.5 million for a revamped drainage system in New Providence. I ain't going to ask if that's enough money to do something as big as that, but it's a start. I got a text here that says, sir, ask your guests what is the national plan to rake and clean the beaches on a daily basis. The Goldwyn Resort bought a machine with a rake. This is something that the government should have invested in a long time. Is this machine in their immediate plan? Before you respond, sir, dear sir, no. When I was in boarding school, getting ready to take exams, and they told us about the stresses of taking exams, I looked to all of my English classmates and said, is nobody going to stress out on this exam, and ain't nobody going to cheat, because if we fail these exams, we all going back to the Bahamas to rake sand and seaweed off the beach. So you're going to be taking away a whole bunch of jobs, potential jobs from people, if the Ministry of Tourism buys a machine to clean the beach. What are the plans, immediate plans, to ensure that beaches are cleaned regularly?
Aaron, and it's so interesting, the zoning, because again, beaches, even though tourism has taken the initiative to deal with areas that again affect our tourist areas, however, that's the cleaning of the beaches is beaches and parks.
Are y'all partnering? Tourism got the budget.
That is the plan.
Beaches got the mandate.
No. The plan is to, again, it's everybody's business.
Yeah.
And so as stakeholders, we all must chip in to do what we must. For downtown, though, the city management bill would, again, have a body that will take on responsibility for these initiatives. I'm very wary about buying an equipment, giving it to a government or a particular area without any
managing.
Yeah, because who's to say that
you ain't gonna find that machine in my yard?
A good partnership for the beaches maintenance should have been the commissioner of prison and allowing the inmates who have
We have people who need jobs.
But Aaron, it saves the country millions of dollars.
No, it doesn't.
What about my job?
But we don't have a job now if you clean the beaches. We don't have a job for you now cleaning the beaches. But we're saying that an inmate is actually
being punishment.
No, that's not what the punishment.
The
is.
Government, the government paying for an inmate to be hosted.
They don't be taking a
day.
Job to give it to prisoners.
No, no, they're being paid. They're being paid through the government, the people, the taxpayers. We're hosting them per day. So we're saying that if we have these inmates there to lessen their time, because it's called rehabilitation, we can put them on the beaches and comb it every morning.
Break, too I got to talk to Ian on the side.
Too close to the ocean.
We're talking to Senator Randy Rowell. I appreciate your patience with us, but we had some tough questions to ask you. And of course, I want to commend you for the successes that you do have had in terms of cleaning up Bay Street. We see your efforts. We see you cleaning Bay Street. We see you fixing things. So we just wanted to commend you for it. But I now need you to help me get connected with the minister to come on so we can ask about these tough questions about Bay Street and initiatives and the downtown project and so we could deal with that. But this is Guardian Radio in the AM. We're going to take this quick commercial break and then we'll come and wrap up with Senator Randy Rowell about his accomplishments, what he's doing downtown, what can we expect in the immediate future. Guardian Radio in the AM.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Senator Randy Rowell, who is a consultant in the office of the Deputy Prime Minister and Ministry of Tourism. He's a consultant in Ministry of Tourism. Of course, he's here with two of his summer students who are helping the Ministry of Tourism on their social media platform and promoting and taking pictures of concept that needs to be done, right? And before the break, we was asking Mr. Rowell about his successes. What all have he accomplished downtown, or what all he's doing in the scope of his job? And I want him given an opportunity to do that. So go ahead, Mr. Rowell.
All right. Well, you know, I'm not here to boast or talk about anything that because it's so far, you got a long way to go. One of the things, like I said, the happy about is the fact that, you know, we are bringing the stakeholders together. People are coming forward and saying what needs to be done. We have identified a number of small wins, and, you know, we feel, you know, making good progress of collecting this data, getting it to the relevant individuals. For example, even Ministry of Works. In the front of the straw market, there has been some old electricity box, the green boxes. And this box, one box alone, had to have been there forever. It just took a phone call. It just took some pictures. Listen, it just took some follow-up. We need it moved. There's a lot of little drainage, little breakage here and there that, you know, tourists and Bahamians see every single day. And so to identify those and to get follow-up is something that we're going to continue to work on, the small things. We're going to continue to grow. And again, the police presence is something I think is a major accomplishment as well.
Thank you very much, Randy Roll, and we appreciate you coming by. We want you to come back again to explain your successes and what new initiative you're playing for.
Not on Wednesday.
It's a hard, tough day. Yes. Guardian Radio and Air with C.A. Nuri, of course. Aaron Gray was with me, and Ian Munnings. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day, Bahamas.